doing no scripture on the screen because the scripture content is in the printed material. And I'm going to make a few comments before we get into the printed material that is associated with the printed material. And I'm going to ask God to help us, and we're going to offer a prayer that we can be strengthened and blessed by His power and Spirit. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to this particular point in our service tonight where we expound the Word of God, and we know how desperately bad we need Your guidance and Your power, Your unction, Lord God, that souls can be impacted by the Spirit of God. We're aware that when we gather together like this, that there's always hearts that need help. There's always lives that need to be touched and tuned up, Lord. There's always sin that needs to be put under the blood. In the name of Jesus, let the work of God be done tonight, and we'll give You the praise. Amen and amen. Now, I want to say, don't lose sight, believers, of the fact that we are on a journey. We're not just rambling around. We're going somewhere. We're not just surpassing the mountain. We've got a destination, a city called heaven. Now, I'm telling you things that you absolutely know, but we need to be reminded perhaps. The enemy of our soul is up to every tactic he can manipulate to hinder you on that journey. But we must not allow him to do that. We must not be cumbered down with anxiety, because more than anything else, we want to make heaven our home. Don't lose sight of that. We got to hold on to it. We are on a journey. Our destination, our future is beyond description. Amen? The scripture says, eye has not seen, ears not heard, it's not been told to man what waits for us. The scripture says, if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. Let me tell you something. When we get to where we're going, if we get to heaven, we'll forget all about the stuff. We'll forget all about the journey and all the hardships and frustrations. We will be so glad. Heaven itself is a reward. To enter into the gates of peril, it is a reward. But beyond heaven being a reward, there will be personal rewards. And that's what we're going to kind of get into. So listen, civilization started in a paradise, in a garden. Am I right? The design of God was there. And God said, it is good. Amen. It started in a garden. The devil tricked the early fathers of civilization, Adam and Eve, lied to them, passed the buck to them, and they were expelled from the garden. I'm telling you things you know. They were expelled from the garden. God didn't give them probation. He didn't give them, I'm going to give you 30 more days. They're out. And a flaming sword was put there at the gate of the garden, barring them from ever coming back in again. But God so wanted fellowship with His creation that He had this plan that supersedes all other things, that one day that flaming sword is going to be removed and the arms of God are going to be extended saying, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. It is God's cry that that gate be open and that you can see your way in and not have to be pushed in, caroused in, but you can enter in. Oh, my God in heaven, am I talking to you? So this glorious city, this garden, this destination we're going, it's going to end up again in a garden, a place called paradise. Am I talking to you? It started in paradise, and it's going to end in a place called heaven. But it's going to end, first of all, in a 1,000-year reign of God's kingdom. Amen? The next event, I'm talking to you, hopefully not elementary. I know what I'm saying is things that you know and you embrace, but I just feel that I need to touch on, you know, quick comments on. So the next event on God's program that we need to be aware of, the very next event is the translation of the church. Listen to me. Not one thing, zero, zip, nothing has got to be fulfilled. There's nothing causing the rapture to be lingering. Am I talking that? Do you understand that? We could sit around, if we did not believe in the rapture, we could say, well, I'm not worried about the rapture, I'm worried about the Antichrist. So we'd be looking for the Antichrist. But we're not looking for the Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ. Amen. Every T has been crossed. Every I has been dotted. There were two or three things that were essential for this translation to happen, for this rapture to happen. Israel had to be brought back into God's people, restored, Ezekiel 36 and 37. And the Jew had got to be, by and large, the Jew has got to be home. In this year that we're living in right now, the population of the Jewish people in Israel is more than any other place in the world. Prior to this year, there were more Jews in Florida and New York than there were in Israel. But God said they're going to come home. And 3 or 4 years ago, this little church right here with these wonderful people said, if they're going to go home, we're going to help them go home. And we poured money into that project. And we got a flag up there that flew over Jerusalem for 12 years, tattered because of the weather and all. But listen, am I talking to you? The next event we need to, that's why you're called to sober living. See, if I was waiting for the tribulation, I wouldn't, the imminency of it, do you understand that imminent? It would not be such a pressing thing. I could say, well, I'll just wait until I get to the end of the journey. Some of you, I know how it was, what I'm getting ready to say. Some of you don't because you're smart. But I knew we had exams coming up in school. And I'd be so excited I couldn't. I knew we had exams coming up. But, it would be posted. It's going to be on the just before Christmas or right after Christmas. And somebody say, are you studying? I said, I ain't worried about it. But now 2 days before the exam, I got all shook up. Oh, help me. I get friends, let's go over this material. Now, I should have been preparing the whole time. Now, none of y'all did that. And somebody said, did you make an A? I said, I'm not even worried about an A. I just want that bottom line. Just give me that bottom line so that I can get out of here. That's not imminency. Jesus said, live as if he's coming right now. In such an hour as you think not. Am I talking? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we need to wake up on some issues. There was a time merely a few years ago when there was more excitement about the coming of Jesus than there is now. We humdrum, we yawn. We've heard it, we've sung about it, we've written songs about it and all that. But it's going to happen. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he spoke it, he'll do it. Amen? So listen. The rapture of the church, the translation, by that I mean earth people. We are on earth tonight. Amen. We are earth people. Our destiny, there's something called gravity that's holding us down. That's keeping us from floating around. But there's going to be a shout. The voice of the archangel. The trump of God. And gravity is going to break. And the church of the living God is going from earth to heaven before you can say like Superman. We're gone. When it happens, don't call me nothing but call me gone. I'm gone. Am I talking to you? I pray that these last few weeks, the Holy Ghost has been stirring up people, speaking to people. And that's not wasted effort. God does not do anything just on the spur of a moment. He is stirring. He is probing. He is reaching out those nail-scarred hands of his, saying, I want them in. I want them in. How am I talking to you? So a translation will happen from earth to heaven. And the church will be brought to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that judgment seat of Christ is a reward judgment. There's no punishment. So get that out of your head. We cross into heaven, we're not going to be punished for anything. We're going to be blessed, and some will be rewarded more than others. That's reality. How you did something, what was your motive and all that. But we ought to be striving for that reward. But the rapture takes place. Biblically, theologically speaking, the next thing will be the judgment seat of Christ, where the body of Christ gathered before Jesus and we're judged. Amen? Then, are y'all okay? Then after the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, the marriage of the Lamb. There's going to be a wedding. I said there's going to be a wedding. Oh, hallelujah. Now, the bride, Revelation 21 said, the bride has made herself ready. Hallelujah to God. We've looked in the mirror of God's word and got our hair in place. What we got over, you know. We've looked in the mirror of God's word and said, we want to live up to the precepts, to the standards, because that marriage is going to be something worth beholding. Not figuratively speaking, there is going to be a marriage. Oh, Jesus Christ is the groom. And the church, that's us. Glory to God. We're a body. I don't care if I'm part of the big toe. I just want to be in that body. Amen. I just want to be a part of that number. I want to be included. Do you? Hallelujah. So the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place in heaven. And then I'm giving you a lot of theological stuff in a condensed manner. Am I following you? Or are you following me? Amen. After the marriage, the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to say to his bride, we've got a trip to make. We've got a journey to take. We're going back to your homeland, talking about the bride. We're going back to your homeland. There were some bullies down there. They harassed you. They bullied you. They ridiculed you. But we're going to go back. We're going to go back, and we're going to meet them bullies. Hello? Now, the Bible says, you can take it any way you want to. I'm going to take it the way the Bible says. The Bible said that we mount up on horses. Jesus got a white. I don't care what color mine is. I don't care. I don't want no donkey or no mule or nothing like that. Give me a horse. Hallelujah. And we're going to, it's biblical. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, the heavens open and a white horse, and he that sat upon it with a sash around him said, the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't know personal identification. No, that's John Doe. No, that's the word of God that's coming from heaven to earth. Glory to God. And I don't know how long it's going to take us to get from, not long, it's going to take us from get from heaven to earth. But the church will follow Jesus. That's our job tonight. Our job is to not walk beside him, but to follow him. Amen? And that horse of his is going to land on the Mount of Olives. Not the rapture. Not the rapture. He said, you left here from this spot, and you're coming back to this spot. Amen? And we're going to land on the Mount of Olives. And when his feet touch that mountain, it splits. And fresh, healed water begins to flow toward the former sea and the hinder sea. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, the devil don't want us to hear these things because it's so majestic. And all you've got to do to be qualified is to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. And the battle of Armageddon is going to be going on. 7-year tribulation. The first half was 3.5 years. And then the second half is the great tribulation, 3.5 years. And it's going to be going on. And there's going to be death like nobody has ever dreamed of death. 85% of humanity in the battlefield of Gog and Magog is going to die. This is not fairy tale. This is real. And we need to hear it. And Jesus is going to... the armies of the world, the armies of the world are going to be gathered in Jerusalem, in the Middle East. And Jesus is going to fight with the sword of his mouth. All he's got to do is, and it's over. And the Bible says after that battle, it's going to take 7 years to pick up the corpse and the wood and the, you know. Am I talking? Y'all getting quiet? Oh, I want to be there, don't you? Hallelujah. And so the Battle of Armageddon, and then Satan, I'm reviewing our lesson. After the Battle of Armageddon is finished, it will be a campaign for the last 3.5 years. That's really the truth. It will be a campaign. Battle one, battle two, skirmish, more army, more military people coming in. But Jesus will come and put a stop to it. He will flex his mighty muscles. And then the judgment of nations. Amen. Am I talking to you? Satan will be bound, Revelation 20, biblical now, for 1,000 years. He'll be bound. And for that 1,000 years, the judgment of nations will take place. Do you remember right? Matthew 25, Jesus sits upon a throne. The nations of the world are gathered before him. And the criteria for their judgment is, how did you treat my brethren? Not you know, how did you treat my flesh brother? How did you treat the believer, and particularly the Jew? See, I don't boast, I don't brag, and I don't tout my horn about this or our horn. But it's going to be on our books. It's going to be on our record sheet. When we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ in heaven, there's going to be a record pulled back, and that flag is going to be seen. And God is going to be pleased. Am I talking to anybody? God is going to be pleased that we had a burden for his people. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Amen. So the judgment of nations will take the sheep and the goats, the sheep on the right hand, the goats on the left hand. And then we go ahead, everything offensive, every earthly creature not redeemed will be shut out of the kingdom, and every believer, every mortal believer will be welcome in. You need to understand this, and I know you do, but when that 1,000-year kingdom is initiated, there will be men and women with mortal bodies just like you got now. If they were to cut their arm, they bleed just. That's not the church. Am I confusing anybody? There will be people, particularly Jewish people, that came through the tribulation period. They're going to pass the criteria of Matthew 25. And Jesus is going to say to them, enter into the joys of the Lord, for the kingdom that has been prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. And they will initiate, mortal people will enter into the kingdom of God, for that 1,000-year kingdom. And you say, well, that sounds so appealing, I'd like to be one of them. No, you wouldn't. We got a place that's far superior. They're entering in, they got the, and we're going to get in it tonight a little bit at somewhere around midnight. I get excited when I teach this. We need to hear these things, brother. Am I talking to you? People in sin need to hear that we're not just beating a drum over here. We know where we're going. We've got the map. We've got the guidelines. We've got that. And you say, well, y'all just fooled. No, when the end comes, we'll find out who's fooled. Oh, glory to God. The kingdom of God will be set up on planet Earth. Amen? It will be set up on planet Earth. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years. The church will be loosed. We will be the guardian. We will be God's police force for that 1,000 years. The dance halls will be shut down. The beer joints will be shut down. The gambling dens will be shut down. The houses of ill repute will be shut down. There will nothing hurt nor harm in my holy mountain. Hallelujah. Jesus said, know you not that the saints shall judge the world, judge the earth. Amen. Jesus will be king over the planet earth during that 1,000 years, and David will be the co-regent. David will be ruling on a throne with Jesus. Amen. That's wonderful. And for 1,000 years, this world will see perfection. 6,000 years ago, humanity started as we know it. I wish I could. See, these things are so staggering that people raise their eyebrows. I mean, just suppose you walked up to some people that don't know anything about the Bible and say, we believe in a God that can go into a fire and come out. And they say, oh, no. Well, we believe in a God that was put in a grave and it come out 3 days later. We start talking about what he did and what he's promised, and then we start talking about what he's going to do. It creates anxiety in a lot of people. Am I talking to you? And then there's so many places in the Bible that gives descriptions of what that 1,000 years is going to be like. And we'll read some of it tonight. And I need to hurry up and get in there. Jesus will be, our focus will be on this 1,000 year. Don't forget all, at the closing of this 1,000 year, the great white throne judgment occurs. We don't want to be there. That's the judgment of the unsaved. Now to your printout. I would like to say one more thing. Why would the devil be, we touched on this the other night. Why would the devil be loosed? Revelation 20 said he's going to be loosed for a season, a little season. And here, you've heard this, you know this. The logic behind his being released is this. During that 1,000 years longevity, people will live to be hundreds of years old, but if someone dies at 100 years old, they will be considered a child. See, that's how it was supposed to, it all started. It started with no intention of men dying. Men would just live, but men disobeyed God. But it's the circle's going to go around, and people will, if they die, they'll be at 100 years old, they'll be a child. It's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. Now, look in your printout. Three sections of Scripture, Genesis chapter 3, Romans chapter 8, and Revelation 20. These texts will give a foundation of what life is really like today and why it is the way it is. It's called the curse. All the aggravations that you go through is a result of the curse. You understand that? All the frustrations, all the tears that run down your eyes, all the broken homes, all of it is a result of the curse. The curse came from the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. It involved the serpent, who was Satan. It involved both man and the woman, Adam and Eve. Listen to what God said to the serpent. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Isn't that awesome? Now let's go to the next page. That passage of Scripture is the first ever prophecy of a coming Messiah. And let me pause and take a moment to digress. From that day that the devil got that verdict to this day right here, well, let's rephrase it. From that day to the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, the devil said, I can't let it happen. I can't let it happen. The whole history of the Old Testament is the history of the conflict between the devil trying to hinder the Word of God and God's Word being fulfilled. I mean, everything, you know, kill all the babies, and, you know, everything that you could dream of. Beginning with verse number 16, there are the words of the curse that relate to the woman. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Isn't it amazing? Back then they didn't have C-sections. Sometimes it makes you wonder, please ladies, don't tar and feather me. It makes you wonder sometimes that if that lady's laying there thinking, now, is natural birth more painful than a knife to cut me? I think I'll take the knife. But here's what I do know. Man has tried to override the verdict of God from day one. Why do you think they got a lottery? God said to Adam, by the sweat of thy brow, you shall work. And man has tried to circumvent that, come up with lotteries, come up with everything, trying to make the grant, trying to evade work. But God said, work is honorable. It's profitable. Amen. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall. Somebody read that last part. It sticks in my. That's what it said. Okay. Beginning in verse 17, one finds the curse and its effect on man, Adam and those he represents. Cursed is the ground for your sake in toil. You shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. That's heartbreaking. You work and look behind you, weeds are growing and about as fast as you can cut them out. You shall eat the herb of the field, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. It's a humbling thing to look in the mirror and say you ain't nothing but a pile of dirt. You might be shiny dirt. You might have all kinds of stuff to cover the dirt, but when it comes to the real nitty-gritty, we come out of the dirt. In fact, his brother Lloyd said something to me several years ago. He's just said it in the hall. And it's non-evasive. Everything there is come from the dirt. Isn't that kind of the way you said it? Everything. Minerals, metals, everything. So we're all dealing with dirt people. There's a difference between the curse and the curse of the law. And let's touch on this. Galatians 3:13 says, believers are redeemed from the curse of the law, but they have not yet been redeemed from the curse in Genesis 3. In fact, the New Testament says that it has not happened yet. Romans 8:19-20, Paul writes, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Now, what this passage says is that from the beginning of creation, God subjected this world to futility. There is hardwired into nature and life the experience of futility. God subjected this world. He built in hope so that it would not always be a futile world. Verse 21, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. In other words, there will come a time when this curse of futility and corruption is going to be taken out of creation, and it will come during the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. So creation is groaning, trying to give birth to a world that is not under a curse. Isn't that amazing? They got a storm brewing out somewhere in the ocean. I don't know. They've already named it. I don't know the name of it. Anybody? Matthew. And Mark will come after that. But Matthew, that's creation groaning. Systems, low fronts and high fronts and all that, that's a result. Because during that 1,000 years, there'll be no high pressures forming. There'll be no low pressures forming. There'll be no storms named. There'll be nothing imperfect during that 1,000 years. Isn't that amazing? There will be children born. And I can't get away from this, but you talking about reproduction. My mother gave birth to 10 children. Anybody here, your mother gave birth to that many children? Sister Esther, sister brother. We're in a league of our own. And it was not a pleasant thing. I'm sure, you know, about every 2 years, well, here comes another one. But what I'm trying to say is that childbirth, you know, is going to be reproduction. Family, you know, back in my day, large families were the rule of the day. I mean, you know, it was just true. But now it's a different society we live in, and that's the way it is. But the farmer will crank his machine. That, do you understand there's not going to be some weird kind of economy? There's not going to be some space thing. It's going to be, if man, technology, could send a man to the moon, send cameras to Mars, and do all this stuff, nothing can stop them. Do you understand that? God said, we got to go down at that Genesis 11. We got to go down and see and put a stop. See what's going on and put a stop to this. God gave man intelligence. And in that millennial kingdom, that intelligence is going to be just exploding. Technology will increase and techniques of and agriculture will be so far superior. There'll be no herbicides and pesticides and there'll be no mess. There'll be no too much water this year, not enough water next year. No more gambling. It's going to be a perfect society. And the church will just come by your driveway. There's going to be traveling. And it won't be General Motors and, you know, Ford Company and all that. I don't know what it'd be. That technology would be so. They experiment with these backpacks. You know, strap one on and hit the button and away we go. It's what I'm trying to say to you is these things are the springboard for technology that we have no idea about. Amen. And so there will be a perfect, you know, the curse is gone. Amen. So I'm still on page 147. The creation is grown and trying to give birth to a world that is not under a curse so that the curse can be reversed. It's like the travail of a mother. The earth is groaning in many natural ways. For example, pollution, negative environmental impacts, and so forth. Paul said in verse 23, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. He's saying that not only does creation groan, but also those who are saved. In other words, believers are ready for a change. I say amen. A new body. Believers are redeemed from the curse of the law, but they are not yet redeemed from the curse of the fall. Get that. That's highlight material. We're not redeemed from, we're redeemed from the curse of the law, but not from the curse of the fall. Glory to God. Every sickness you got, it all comes from the curse. Amen. And cursed be the curse. Amen. No amount of prayer, faith, or works can get believers beyond the fact that they suffer the curse in their bodies. Evidence of the curse are everywhere. Thorns on roses, headaches, painful childbirth, and even wrinkles from the old age, from the aging process. Then he gives an illustration about his grandmother. You know, she was 94 years old, and she got her days and nights mixed up. She slept in the daytime and stayed awake at nighttime. And her daughter, which is Brother Culpepper's mother, said, "Mother, lay down. Let's read it. Let's read it." She would sleep toward the end of it. She would sleep in the daytime and stay awake at night, keeping everybody else awake. My mother said, "Mama, would you like to sit up so that you can get tired and go to sleep tonight?" To which Granny replied, "I'm 94 years old. I'm tired all the time." I can relate. That's the curse of creation. Amen. Verse 26, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Go to the next page. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Are you glad you came to church tonight? Amen. Oh, we got a long time to go. In Romans 8, there are three kinds of groaners named. The earth groans under the curse of creation. Number two, those who are saved groan, looking forward to the time their bodies will be made new. And number three, the Holy Spirit groans by empowering believers through prayer praying through them, the Holy Spirit praying through them, so that the groanings can give the faith and revelation to pray in the will of God until the future day of deliverance is realized. So God's word is clear, the writer said. There was a fall and a curse, and mankind is living with the fallout. But believers are anticipating a day. It's not a pipe dream. It's not some fairy tale that we talk about. There is coming that 1,000 years called the millennial kingdom. Revelation 20 and verse 1 introduces the reader to this period. 6 times in the next 7 verses, the 1,000-year period when Christ will reign is mentioned. Christ will cancel the curse, glory to God. Bodies will be set free from the bondage of aging, disease, and death. The earth will be set free from pollutions, earthquakes, and pestilence. The earth will then be as God intended to be in its paradise state. So if you'll be patient, if you'll hold on, you're going to go out of here in a blaze of glory, and you're going to come back when this kingdom is set up. Oh, glory to God. We're going to come back with Jesus, and he's going to bring everything under control. And for 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, this world will know what it means. For 6,000 years, this world has known what it means to be under the brunt of the devil. The agony, the frustration for 6,000 years. And look what's happened to it. Their best brains has produced war, devastation, corruption, ungodliness. It's not safe to walk on your streets. It's not safe to drink drinking water in some cities. Everything is chaotic. Everything is confusion. And that's what man has done. That's what man has done. But God is going to step forth in the person of Jesus Christ and say, now I'm going to show you what I will do with my people. For 1,000 years, you're going to drink out of wells that you didn't dig. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. For 1,000 years, you won't have to pray anything in because the Jehovah Jireh is going to be there. And he's going to look at the church and he's going to say to us, your job, 1 Corinthians 6, is to judge the world, is to evaluate the world. Amen. Don't you know that the saints shall judge? Am I talking to anybody? Okay, this is not a regression. You understand the regression. Mankind will see a modern, mechanized, automated world during the millennial kingdom. That is, I mean, it's going to be like whatever these programs, you know, outer space program they carry, Mork and Mindy or whatever, I don't know. There was some kind of program, you get in the little spaceship and you, Jetson, yeah. Why didn't I think about that? And see, what I'm trying to tell you is no matter what you have seen, no matter what technology you've heard discussed, no matter how advanced it is nothing compared to what that 1,000 years is going to be. They shall neither hurt nor destroy my holy mountain. There'll be no locks on doors because there'll be no crooks. There'll be no crack cocaine. Oh, my God in heaven. There'll be no drugs going into the veins of the people. There'll be no divorce because people's going to learn how to get along. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. Somebody told me I need to quit singing. I got my groupies. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, laid hold of the dragon. That's the devil, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, bound him for 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years are finished. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth. But see, there's 1,000 years of bliss that stands in the pathway. And he's going to gather. Now, here's the tragic thing. Here's the tragic. The devil is utterly, absolutely the deceiver. You don't gloss over that. His absolute mode of operation. He come on the scene deceiving. Help me out, somebody. He come on the scene as a deceiver, deceived Adam and Eve. The last thing he does is deceive. He gathers people after this 1,000 years and he deceives them. And in the church age right here in this congregation, there are people who get deceived by the devil. Oh, he's not going to come soon. Jesus is not coming soon. That's deception. So he's going to, and he said not only is he a deceiver, he has false preachers, politicians, people in persuasive power and office that their job is to deceive. The most deceived, the most deadly person that you'll ever encounter is a deceived person who does not know they're deceived. Does that make sense? They're not knocking on your door trying to give you literature and laughing at you. They believe what they're doing. Okay, and the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. The beast and the false prophet's been there for 1,000 years. And they're still living. Don't subscribe to the material that you'll burn up like a piece of bacon. They were there. They were mortal beings cast into the lake of fire. And for 1,000 years, they've been burning. They were still there, and the devil was cast in with them. And can I give a report to you? They're there right now. Amen. They're there right now. And they know. Sometimes here's the paradox. Sometimes it's almost dreadful to give truth to, but no, that's not a good way to say it, but get my point. Sometimes it's almost dreadful to give truth to people because they shirk it over their shoulders and, I don't believe that. And then when they face the reality of judgment, they've got to go back in their mind and say, I was in the Alley Good Church of God in the year 2016 in the month September, and I heard the caution sounded. I heard the warning given, and I laughed at it, or I dismissed it, or I said, you know, no. See, if you didn't know, you would still be guilty. But here is the crux of it. When you do know, it makes your guilt 1,000 times worse. That you got to go through eternity in the torments of hell, knowing that you were that close to avoiding it. A rich young ruler walked away from Jesus. He come running to Jesus. He knelt on his knees. Good master, what must I do to be saved? Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, sell what you've got and give money to the poor. Jesus didn't need a man's money. He had money. He could direct money in a fish's mouth. But he knew the money had the man. And whatever's got you, Jesus is going to deal with it. Am I talking to you? He's going to deal with it. He's going to pull the fangs out of it. And the Bible said the man turned around and walked away sorrowfully. Can you imagine in eternity rolling over in the billows of damnation? I heard him say, this is all I had to do. I heard him say, sell, but I held on to what I loved more than I wanted Jesus. Do y'all, now where am I at? Somebody give me, okay. Set us, blessed and holy is he who is, okay, where am I on page? Goggin. The program. Why didn't I speak of that? I get sidetracked. Y'all did notice that, didn't you? Earth's resplendent transformation. Now we're going to look at briefly at the program of the millennium. Many people have asked the following questions. What will happen during the millennium? What will it be like to live on this earth with no curse, when animals are not ferocious, and when pollution is not pervasive? What will it be like to live where Jesus truly runs the show? Isn't that beautiful? What will it be like to have every promise he has ever made fulfilled to the letter? What will it be like to rule and reign with him? Following are 11 thoughts on the program of the millennial. And the first letter of each of the following 11 points forms an acrostic, resplendent. Each of these thoughts represented. Okay, number one, rationale. Huh? Relational. Okay, there is a difference, isn't it? What will it be like relationally on this earth? The Bible says in no uncertain terms that peace will rule the earth, because the Prince of Peace will be ruling the earth. This peace will not be just international peace, national peace, urban peace, community peace. This peace will rule everywhere from one house to another. If peace prevails in the home, then things go much better. For example, there will be peace between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between neighbors and neighbors, between the races and between the cultures. There will be no aggravating circumstance and no arguments. This is true peace on earth. Can I get a witness on that? I mean, you know, we're living in the dispensation of grace, and bad things happen to people. People make bad choices. They make bad mistakes, and they enter into relationships maybe naive. And the devil would love to hold a hammer over your head and say, there's no hope for you. But Jesus Christ said, there is hope for you. You can walk out of the dungeon and come to the place of God. That's what grace does. They sing a song, mercy stepped in. That's just amazing. Emotionally, joy will flood the earth. The happiest day one has ever had will be multiplied times 1,000 years. And that is just a glimpse of the kind of joy believers will have every single day in the millennial kingdom. You're not going to sit around and worry about your income tax. Am I talking to you? Not only will there be joy, but there will be comfort. The comfort of the Holy Spirit will cover this earth. God's Son, who rules the earth, will personally comfort the inhabitants of his kingdom. Spiritual, this earth will be a holy earth. I love this one now. A holy kingdom. Even the horse's bridle will have engraved into them, holiness unto the Lord. The pots and pans in the people's homes will be so holy that it would be possible for the vessels in a resident to be used in the holy temple in Jerusalem. I had never thought about that before. It's beautiful. That is how holy this whole earth is going to be. Not only will it be a time of holiness, it will also be a time when the glory of the Lord will be resplendent throughout the earth. It will be a time in which the earth will be conscious of God. That's beautiful. The Holy Spirit will cover the earth. It will be a kingdom of focused worship, not just sporadic. During the millennial kingdom, an edict will be enforced commanding people to go to Jerusalem to worship the king personally. It will be political, the political aspect. The Lord Jesus will rule the earth with a rod of iron. Jerusalem will be the capital city. The 12 apostles will rule under Christ over the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be no part of the earth that will be exempt from his righteous rule. Israel's king, David, will rule under Christ over Israel as co-regent. Christ will give his kingdom to his saints, and his saints will rule under Christ over the earth. I want to be there, don't you? Israel will be united and elevated as a nation above all the nations of the earth. There'll be no PLO trying to create consternation. There'll be no division among Ishmael and Isaac. And the Gentile saints will rule and reign over the Gentile. That's beautiful. Our role is the Gentile nations. Amen. The land of Israel will be divided into 12 sections. Each of those 12 sections will be assigned to one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be complete freedom from political oppression and Hillary and injustice. Sometimes things just spill out. Legal, what will it be like on earth legally? One word sums it up, justice. That would be perfect justice. The king and his saints will rule in righteousness and justice. Number six, economical. That would be a perfect economic system. Men and women will work using their gifts and skills to their fullest potential. In other words, people will go to work. Work is not a part of the curse. Work is a part of the complete life cycle. That is why when God created heavens and earth, he told Adam to go to work in the garden, tending it and keeping it. Work is an aspect. Boy, this needs to be taught in town square. You know, call everybody that's lazy. Laziness is a curse. It will not be some strange world. Neither is it going to be regression. Instead, it will be progression. Based on the knowledge man has today in this earth, when the curse is removed, inventions, discoveries, advancements, and intellect will be absolutely astounding. Space travel has never been like it will be then. People will not be floating around on a cloud, regressing back into the Stone Age. In that day, the best of the best, the most superior knowledge of all knowledge, will be poured into the human race that is ruled and reigned by immortal, that is ruled and reigned by immortal saints by God's will during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign. Natural. How will things be naturally? The curse on creation will be gone. There is a difference between the curse of the law and the curse of creation. Christ has redeemed the believer from the curse of the law, but it will not be until after the tribulation, at the coming of Christ's revelation, that there will be redemption of this earth. When the curse is removed, acid rain, the hole in the ozone layer, air and water pollution will all be gone. The radiance of natural life to this planet will increase. Both solar and lunar light will give their photosynthesis. If I was get these authors in a room together, I'd say, now make sure you put simple words. We're simple people. Palestine will be geographically and topographically changed. The mountain terrain presently dominant in Palestine will be transformed into a great fertile plain. Palestine will indeed, according to Psalm 48:2, be beautiful for situation. The land will be transformed after being ravaged by the great tribulation. There will be an abundance of rainfall on the earth. Rain has always been held as synonymous with God's blessing. The ferocity of animals will be removed. The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The cow and the bear will graze together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child will play next to the hole of a cobra. The weaned child will put his hand into a snake's den with no harm experienced. Reproduction of offspring will take place by the living saints who go into the kingdom with natural bodies. There will be people in the millennial kingdom with immortal bodies. There will be people in the millennial kingdom with immortal bodies. Okay, get that now. The saints who have been resurrected, we were buried in a natural body. We're going to come out of that grave in a immortal body. We're going to come out. We're going to go in with corruption. We're going to come out in a state of incorruption. We're going to have a body. He said, as you've borne the image of the earthly, you will bear the image of the heavenly. Let me just give you, Jesus did not have to eat. I'm talking about after resurrection. He did not have to eat, but he did eat. It's going to be a wonderful thing when you don't have to eat. It's going to be a wonderful thing when there probably be no scales. You're not going to have to, I mean, I love iced tea. I love iced tea. And I love sweet iced tea. I can guzzle it down. I won't have to worry about tightening but get this. This is the point that needs to be made. Don't differentiate. I mean, don't get confused between mortal people that enter into the millennial kingdom and the immortal people. The immortal people is the church. They have the glorified body. They can't be killed. They can't be. They're immortal. Jesus said, "Touch me." One place in John 20, "Don't touch me, I have not yet ascended." But then later on, he said to Thomas, "Run your finger in there." He entered the room, didn't even open the door. It's going to be a wonderful thing. There will be people, listen now, there will be people who will have come out of tribulation with natural bodies. That's us. I mean, this is what you've got right now. With natural bodies in the millennial kingdom. To gain admittance, one must be saved. And those who, And those who have natural bodies will have reproductive capabilities during the millennial kingdom. Children will be born, is what he's saying, by truckloads. Resurrected saints with immortal bodies will not physically reproduce. Sickness will be removed. The healer will be king. Sickness and death will be used only as punishment for those who are openly rebellious to the rule of the king. Immortal saints will have resurrected bodies and will not be subject to the physical limitations of the bodies of people who have mortal bodies on earth. There's going to be millions of children born during that millennial kingdom. Millions. Because natural people, there's going to be an element of natural people that's going to go in that kingdom. Those people that are born during that kingdom, they don't know what the devil is. They've never been exposed to temptation. But they still have an unregenerate heart. You understand that? Even though there's no devil running out from behind the bush to try to tempt them, they still got a heart that is dark, that is ready to be awakened to sin. But now here's God's plan. Every man that goes to heaven goes there by his own free will. There's nobody in heaven, listen to good, there's no one in heaven that was made to go there. Everyone goes to hell by their own volition. Make no mistake about that. But now, those people born during that 1,000 years, God is going to make sure that they have an option. That's why the devil is going to be loose. He's going to go out and deceive the multitudes of the earth. That's what the Bible says in Revelation 20. He will go forth and people that have never known what temptation is, all at once is going to be, wow, you know. And he's going to gather the population together as the sand is upon the seashore. And that city of God is going to be lower down visible during that 1,000 years. It'll be the light of that planet. And that devil, with those multitudes of people that he's gathered together, is going to point to that city and say to the people that are around him that have never had a choice, but now they've chosen him. Just like you had to choose Jesus. You didn't choose the devil when you were born. You were born in his camp. You were born in his camp, but you got to choose to come out of it. If you make a choice, he regenerates your heart and you don't ever have to go back to him. But that unregenerate heart is going to yield to the devil, to the temptation, and the devil is going to say to them, that's where we're going, right there. And he literally believes it. He literally believes that he can dethrone God Almighty and take over the city of God, and he will be... See, here it cuts right to the chase. From the eons gone by, the devil's goal has been the worship of man. He wants man to worship him. He was the anointed cherub, and he walked by the throne of God. Scholars say he was the music leader. He walked by the throne of God, and something came in his mind and said, that's where I should be, right there. I want to be like Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. So he's going to go up about around that holy city, compass it around about too. And this is biblical, Revelation 20. And the Bible says, and God shall destroy him with the breath of his mouth. There'll be no sword, there'll be no atomic energy, there'll be no, just, and it's over. It's over. No more devils ever, 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 never, ever, never, ever again. No. It's over. There's not going to be another, you know, well, the cycle starts again and the devil appears. It's over. Am I talking? Do I have time to go just another minute? Immortal saints will have resurrected bodies and will not be subject to the physical limitations of the bodies of people who have mortal bodies on earth. Development. The earth without calamity, pestilence, famine, and Satan will enter into an era of exponential development. Discovery, inventions, travel, communications, and services will be developed to support the king's worldwide system. The Bible says that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. His subjects will know him. He will teach them. Intelligence will increase. IQ will soar. There will be no one who is intellectually, physically, or emotionally incapacitated in any way. That's equality. That's going to be beautiful. When the curse is gone and the intellectual power is brought to bear in the human mind, one can only imagine what this world would become. There'll be no common cold. there'll be no germs to devastate eternal. The millennial kingdom is only is only a preview of what eternity will be like. One should remember this is not heaven. This is not heaven. As wonderful as it's going to be, this is not heaven. It is a 1,000-year kingdom on the earth. But in that kingdom, there are foreshadowings of eternity. For example, God the Father will always be married to Israel. The Son will always have a bride, and the bride will be the redeemed ones. The Holy Spirit will always be manifest on the earth and in the eternal state. The holy saints from that point on will rule and reign forever with Christ. Negative. There's a negative side to it. The millennial kingdom is not heaven. While it will be a time of holiness, righteousness, and glory, the Holy Spirit's fullness, no curse, health, intellectual power, and pollution, one should remember that only saved people will be permitted in. But the saved people who were permitted in with mortal bodies will have children. That's what we just discussed. John 3:3, you must be born again. So for 1,000 years, the population will explode on this planet. Listen very carefully. When Jesus lived on this earth, approximately 500 million people were living. Today, 2,000 years later, 7 billion people are living. Consider the mortality rate from war, famine, disease, and other things that cause death. And if the circumstance were adjusted, what would the population be? Today, with 7 billion people living on the earth, on this planet, the growth rate is 1 billion every 20 years. Wow. One can only imagine when King Jesus is king for 1,000 years, what the growth rate will be. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. Somebody say praise the Lord. But even then, in a perfect world, the depravity of humanity will reveal itself. You take a hog. You take a sheep. Both of them standing there with no mud on them. Turn them loose, and that hog's going to go to the mud. There's just something in a hog that loves mud. Turn that sheep loose, and he's going to avoid that mud if he can. When that hog, you rescue him from the mud hole and say, oh, Mr. Pig, you just look so bad. We're going to clean you up. You clean him up and turn him loose, he's going right back to the mud. Hello? You get that. The difference is that hog loves mud, and the sheep don't. You get that sheep out of the mud, clean him up, he's going to say, I thank you, and I have no intention. The difference between a regenerate, born-again man and one that is just religious, the born-again man may fall into sin, but he don't love it. He hates it. He hates the fact that he was weak. He hates the fact that he tripped up. The religious man falls, and he loves the mud. Give me another Budweiser. Give me another dose of whatever you're doing. He loves the mud. Sinful nature loves sin. Sanctified nature hates sin. Do you understand that? We're not supposed to just dislike sin. We're supposed to have a vivid resistance and hatred toward it. Because sin is what has sent your loved ones to hell. Sin is what is destroying this world. Sin is what puts plagues upon people. Amen. Did I just give you a sermon? I'm halfway in this bottom paragraph. That same subtle, hateful, rebellious Satan will come again to take those on earth who have not received Christ, but who may have just performed lip service because it was the popular political thing to do. He will build a vast army called Gog and Magog. Revelation 20, they go as the sand of the sea. One may wonder how Satan will be able to recruit such an army, but the earth will have experienced 1,000 years of population explosion. Once Satan musters his army, he will surround the city of Jerusalem where Christ has been king for 1,000 years. As they surround this city, the Bible says God will send fire out of heaven and devour them. Why will God let Satan out? Satan is going to be let out one more time because God is committed to never violate the human will. He would not violate Adam and Eve's will. He said, there is a tree, do not eat of it, but you can do what you want to do. That's where the crux is. That's where the rub is right there. Don't violate, but you can do what you want to. That puts the monkey on our shoulders. That way when we look in the mirror, we can't say the devil made me do it. We can't say this, that, and other. we have to face, when we, let's look at it again. He will not violate, there is the tree, do not eat of it, but you can do what you want to. People sin and, oh, well. In the coming millennial kingdom, to the new people who will be born, God will say, I will not violate your will. If an individual chooses God, he will choose him of his own volition. Therefore, Satan will be exposed for a short season in order to give people a choice, good or evil. Revelation 20 and 10 says he will be cast into the lake of fire, and then it will be over. An old saint by the name of J.M. Kirk captured these sentiments in a song called Our Lord's Return to Earth. And the chorus says, Our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years, but have no temper then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. The serpent who deceived Adam turned his paradise into pain. The pervert who robbed all humanity. The dynamic of all death. The destroyer of all hope. The one who came to steal, kill, and destroy. The one who has left human roadkill for centuries will meet his timely and ultimate demise. One man thought of Satan's demise and declared, The next time Satan reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. Case closed. Would you stand?